from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Welcome to Washington Watch, the Friday edition. Eben Fowler with Bot Radio Network sitting in today for Tony Perkins and for Russ Jones, who normally sits in for Tony Perkins. I'm glad to be here today. Hope you've had a great day, a great week. It's been an interesting week, has it not? Lots of things going on in the news, and we're going to be talking about several of the things that are probably right at the top of your mind. First of all, federal authorities arrested a suspect earlier today in connection with 12 suspicious packages and pipe bombs sent to high-profile Democrats. Congressman Ron Estes of Kansas will be here in just a moment to discuss that, and we'll dig into a few other issues as well. If a funny, well, not so funny thing happened on the way to several churches in Texas, an act that demonstrates how low the left stoops in an attempt to win an election. John Graves, president of Vision America, will be here later in the program to explain that one. And I've just finished reading a fascinating book. It reveals the real story behind Hillary Clinton's deep state collaborators in government and exposes their nefarious actions during and after the 2016 election. We'll talk with Fox News legal analyst Greg Jarrett about his book. And the name of that book is The Russia Hoax: The Illicit Scheme to Clear Hillary Clinton and Frame Donald Trump. Very interesting stuff, and we'll be able to talk with Greg, and you'll be able to talk with him, too, because he's going to be with us for both the third and fourth segments today. And as you know, if you're a regular listener, it's the fourth segment where you have an opportunity to call in. So I'll give you that phone number a little bit later, and you can be prepared with your questions to talk with Greg. And there's a big rally in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the FRC Action Values Bus Tour will be at that Trump rally tonight, just for your information. More information about Family Research Council and Tony Perkins at TonyPerkins.com and his Twitter handle at T Perkins. Well, a male suspect was arrested in Florida this morning in connection with the rash of suspicious packages sent to prominent Democrats nationwide. That suspect is Cesar Sayoc of Aventura, Florida, a 56-year-old male who used to live in New York and has had prior arrests for, among other things, terroristic threats. Today's arrest comes on the same day two more suspicious packages were recovered, one in Florida, was addressed to Senator Cory Booker, New Jersey Democrat, and the other was addressed to former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, who is now a CNN commentator. During a 2018 Young Black Leadership Summit at the White House today, President Trump commented on that arrest.
I am pleased to inform you that law enforcement has apprehended the suspect and taken him into custody. It's an incredible job by law enforcement. We've carried out a far-reaching federal, state, and local investigation to find the person or persons responsible for these events. These terrorizing acts are despicable and have no place in our country. No place. I've instructed authorities to spare no resource or expense in finding those responsible and bringing them to swift and certain justice. And we will prosecute them, him, her, whoever it may be, to the fullest extent of the law.
All right. Well, joining us now is Congressman Ron Estes. He represents the 4th Congressional District of Kansas. He serves on the Education and Workforce Committee and the Homeland Security Committee. Representative Estes, thank you for joining us. And I believe you're in Kansas today, aren't you?
I am in Kansas today, and thank you for having me on the radio.
Oh, absolutely. Lots of things to talk about, and you're in a great position being with the Homeland Security Committee to talk about a couple of things that we want to cover. First of all, though, there's a lot of kind of bad news, negative news out there and has been this last week. Let's talk about a little bit of good news from your perspective, and that is some of the latest information on the economy. You wanted to comment on that a bit.
Well, you know, it's really been so great with all the good economic news coming out. In fact, just today announced that for the third quarter, GDP growth up 3.5%, which is a continuation of that great growth story. You know, second quarter is up 4.2%, and you know that's part of the thing that the economists that were backing President Obama were saying we'd never have a growing economy, that we're stuck in what they call the new normal of less than 2%. And it's just so great to see this much growth. You know, already we're seeing that from a tax receipts are higher this year than last year, just because the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, even though it lowered the rate, has encouraged more people to get out and about. Companies have had pay increases and bonuses, and it's really moving forward with some great activities. Wage growth's highest, consumer spending's up, all those positive things.
Well, and I want to talk with you about what the impact of the midterms could have in just a moment. But let's first go back to the story with regard to the arrest that took place today. What can you tell us? I mean, it's a fast developing story. Law enforcement really went to work and got a hold of somebody pretty quickly here. But what can you tell us further about it?
So it really is great. I mean, the president actually stated it real well, is that there's no place for this kind of, cowardly terrorist attacks that people want to do. And it's great to see our law enforcement, whether it's federal, state, local, work together and help track down and capture this guy for doing it. I know they're still sorting through some of the details. But I'll tell you, one of the things that has impressed me the most being on the Homeland Security Committee is talking with our men and women throughout all the different agencies and the foresight and the thought process that they put into looking at how do we stop these type of attacks? How do we think ahead of what the bad guys might try to do next and look at ways to stop them and how to research and track them down. And this is one of those good examples that we still don't know some of the details of what he was doing, why he was doing it. The FBI forensics approach really did a great job tracking down fingerprint and some DNA evidence and was out to track down this Cesar Sayak. And I know they're still trying to investigate that, so they haven't released all the information that they have about what his motivation is and how he went through this process. But it's good news on that front that our law enforcement's worked well to capture him.
Absolutely. And, of course, you know, there has been and there will be a lot of speculation, as you mentioned, in terms of what the motive for this was. There's information that's begun to emerge about, what candidate he supported and things like that. And I don't even think I'm going to ask you to speculate on that because it is way too early. But let's talk about, unless you want to, of course, but let's talk about the midterm elections and kind of what you're seeing from. First of all, let me ask you, how important are these midterms and what kind of an impact could the outcome have on a number of things? And what things would those be?
Well, these are very critical elections, this midterm election. And we've seen such a sea change in the country in the last 2 years. You know, we went from an area where we had terrible economic growth during the Obama administration. We had the federal government becoming a larger and larger bureaucracy that basically every time you turned around, there were new rules, new laws, new burdens on individuals and businesses. And, you know, with since President Trump's been elected and we've had the 115th Congress working, we've actually gone out and eliminated 12 regulations for every one regulation during fiscal year 2018, which ultimately is going to save $23 billion for taxpayers and citizens. And if Republicans don't keep the House and the Senate, all that goes away, because what Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats have said they'll do is they'll elect Nancy Pelosi Speaker, they'll raise taxes again, and they'll start impeachment proceedings against President Trump. And Americans don't want that. I mean, they want to see results. They don't want to see resistance and obstruction. And we saw it with the handling of Justice Kavanaugh, that the American people said that's not appropriate, that an individual shouldn't be attacked like that going through that process. And even some of the leading Democrats are recognizing that. They're not going to have a blue wave. Just this week, the Democrat National Committee Chairman said that, he doesn't use the term blue wave, and he doesn't expect that to happen. It's going to be close races. And Bernie Sanders said, people talk about a blue wave, but he said he doesn't use that term because he doesn't believe it. And so examples like the New Jersey Senate race has moved from lean Democrat in blue state New Jersey to a toss-up with the Republican candidate. So it's an optimistic time. I think we'll keep the House in Republican control. We'll probably lose a couple of seats in that process. But we're at an all-time high the last couple of election cycles for Republicans. And it's just so important to keep this positive growth going, the good economic news, the reduction in regulations and the things that slow down and hurt our economy and hurt individuals just on a practical standpoint.
You know, let me ask you kind of a philosophical question. Let's set aside the, you know, as you mentioned, if Democrats regain control of the House, they what likely is one of the things that they're going to want to do is to try to start impeachment proceedings. But let's set that aside for just a minute. You would think that, for instance, let's just talk about the economy for a moment. Let's focus on that. I think most people could say, and probably most reasonable economists would say, that part of the reason that we're looking at growth in the lower 4% range right now, 4.2, 4.3, has to do with what you just mentioned, which are tax cuts and cuts in regulations. So the thing that I have a hard time understanding is, you know, the Democrats are saying that one of the things they'll do is bump the taxes back up again. Why is it not? Why isn't it that even they can't understand or can't see that the things that have been done had a result and it was a very positive result? Why would they want to go backwards? Can you help me understand that?
Well, I think part of that is just the attempt to grab for power. And if you're really in a quest for power and trying to grab a hold of that, then you're going to tweak whatever message you can to try to get that power and win the election is what they're looking at. It's kind of interesting. I was watching the TV this morning and listening to some economic news, and one of President Obama's economic advisors was on, and he was talking about, well, you know, used to talk about that the tax cuts weren't going to help the economy. And so this morning he said, well, I'll give you that it's helping the economy, but, oh, yeah, weren't we talking about great pay raises and wage increases as well? And we're not seeing that yet. So it's basically they're shifting their story to find something that's negative instead of celebrating that there's positive things out there in terms of, you know, 3.7% unemployment, that's the lowest since December of 1969, and opportunity for women and minorities all having the lowest unemployment rates. And there's just so many positive things out there. It's kind of sad that they won't support that and the positive good news for the country.
Yeah. Well, you know, you would think that they would want to run on continuing the good track record that has been started here in the last, slightly less than 2 years with the economy growing. In about 30 seconds now, because that's about all the time we have, quickly, a comment from you, from your perspective on Homeland Security with regard to this migrant wave of invaders coming from the south, and then we're going to have to get out of here in about 30 seconds.
Well, it's a sad thing, these caravans. Looks like there's four of them, two of them that are in Mexico and two of them are still in Guatemala with 7,500 people or so. That's not the way to immigrate to the country if you want to do that. We don't know who's behind them, who's funding them, who's providing food and water for them as they travel. But it's something that I know Vice President and the President have talked to Mexico and governments in Central America about making sure that people are addressed and come safely if they want to immigrate to the country.
That's right. Congressman Estes, thanks so much for being with us today. We appreciate it. Coming up next, some hanky-panky going on in Texas with voter guides. We'll find about that next.
Are you interested in helping our nation move toward a brighter future? Join the millions who are gathering to pray, vote, and stand for our country, and hear from some of America's most influential Christian political leaders about what we can do to help move our country in the right direction. The event is a nationwide simulcast for the sake of America. On Sunday, November 4th, tune in at 4 p.m. Mountain Time to hear from Governor Mike Huckabee, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins, E.W. Jackson, Kirsten Hawkins, and others who will be broadcasting from Caris Bible College. The 90-minute broadcast will encourage Americans to pray, vote, and stand for their values in a country that is moving in the right direction. To host the event via webcast with your friends, watch it at TheEvent2018.com. Again, visit theevent2018.com for more information and to tune in to the webcast.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, known as SOCE, claiming that they are fraudulent, ineffective, and harmful. But are they? LGBT activists claim that sexual orientation is immutable and can't be changed by therapy or counseling. They also claim that people who attempt to change their sexual orientation end up more depressed and suicidal. As it turns out, studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are in fact very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. For a thorough analysis of all the major studies done on the effectiveness of SOCE, visit frc.org/SOCE. Again, that's frc.org/SOCE.
Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council here, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, and Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann on FRC's D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit on March the 28th through the 31st. With the Trump Hotel as home base, your experience will include private dinners at the Museum of the Bible and on Capitol Hill, the monuments, briefings from national leaders, and pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us through America's past, present, and future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage.
Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading abortion supplier and has hailed itself as the champion of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
You are listening to the Washington Watch broadcast on this Friday afternoon. Eben Fowler sitting in for Tony Perkins today. Glad to be here and glad you're listening today. Well, in the you can't make this stuff up category, Vision America, a Christian organization that seeks to educate evangelical voters, they print and distribute voter guides to churches so Christians can know where candidates stand on the issues. Well, in Texas, the group has experienced the height of deceitfulness as someone copied and reworded their voter guides to deceive voters. With us now is John Graves. He's the president of Vision America. Welcome, John.
Thanks for having me, Evan. Good to be with you.
All right. So I'm holding in my hand right now, right here, a copy of, I think, this is your real voter guide. And it's a voter guide that compares. It's hard to know these days, and you're going to tell the story here in just a second. But it's a voter guide that compares Ted Cruz's record with Beto O'Rourke's record, and it has such categories as how they, at least how they voted or would have voted on Supreme Court, the Supreme Court nomination of Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, religious liberties, right to life, et cetera, et cetera. So tell us, give us the background here. What happened?
Well, basically, we make these available for free for churches, and we micro-target them to Christians, evangelicals, social conservatives. And so a lot of different places will print them and hand them out to their churches. And I got a call last weekend. They said, hey, John, we found some fraudulent voter guides being handed out this church. It was actually somebody at a different church. It was in Texas, and it was in one particular city. And I said, well, what do you mean? Well, they took our voter guide with our logos, our layout, even left the scriptures on that we put on there, the voting date, took all the footnotes out, and then they just changed all the issues to reverse the positions of the party. So, for example, Ted Cruz, who's very pro-life, was said to be opposed to right to life because he opposed Obamacare. What was more shocking about it, though, Evan, was that they didn't just, you know, send out deceit in campaign or in mail materials on the media. They literally altered them, walked inside the house of God, inside the church, and commingled them on the tables by the exit door where people could get them on the way out of church after the pastor told them how important it was to be salt and light and do it, and literally to deceive the people of God. It's just the blatant levels that people will go to I don't know why it still shocks me. I really don't.
Yeah, well, I was reading earlier today, there was a Democratic candidate, I believe it was in Delaware, who was walking around the district that she hoped to be voted into, and she was pulling her Republican opponent's campaign flyers off of the doors of houses and replacing them with hers. Unfortunately, she was caught on somebody's home camera. And now she's come out and apologized and said this is not who she is, et cetera, et cetera. So this kind of thing, this stuff is going on all over the place. So what's the outcome? How are you dealing with this?
So basically we found it in three different cities so far, and we're doing these voter guides in 10 states. So we're just telling people that's the fake voter guide to get the authentic one, the one that's not altered, the real one. Make sure to go to visionamerica.org. And you can click on your state if you're in any of these, you know, states that have a Senate race, Missouri, Texas, Florida, Indiana, Montana, Arizona, et cetera. And we're asking them to spread this to their friends, to give it to their pastor, to try to get other people. You can go to our Facebook. We actually have a Facebook Messenger. And if you're on there, you can click that and it will walk you through the whole process and allow you to share it with your friends to try to get the word out. So that's what we're asking people to do.
Well, that's important too. You know, those of us who kind of are involved in this stuff all the time assume that our Christian brothers and sisters know, for instance, where Ted Cruz stands on an issue. But you know, there were a lot of evangelical voters who they kind of sit out some of the elections, and sometimes, unfortunately, the midterms in particular.
Yep.
But so it's really important to not to assume that your friends at church know the positions of various candidates, whatever state you happen to be in. Of course, Missouri, I live in Missouri, and there's the election in Missouri for the United States Senate is very, very close, and the contrast between those candidates couldn't be more different. So it's important to know. Yeah,
that's
go ahead.
Exactly right. And a lot of people don't even know the positions. Like in Missouri, it was one of the only Democrat senators where Trump won the state by large margins that voted against not just Brett Kavanaugh, but also Neil Gorsuch. And when people find that out, they're like, wait a minute, you know, that's not really what I stand for. And the real issue, you hit the nail on the head, is getting people to come out and vote. It's to, you know, get the voter guide to be educated and share it, because a lot of people don't know. They literally, I was talking to a pastor, he had no idea that the candidate in this race in Texas, Beto O'Rourke, was fine with an abortion from 20 weeks all the way until birth, and where a baby can live outside the womb. The pastor didn't know. It changed his opinion, you know? And so a lot of times, if people will just get it, if they're in Missouri, Indiana is another close state, Florida, Montana, a lot of these states are really, really close. 76% of the people that could vote that are, you know, voting age will not vote in the midterms. And that is the problem, is we got to get people to wake up. And well, I think what made me so upset is it's so hard to just get pastors to get involved, because it's such a messy process the way it is in our country right now. And you know, I don't know a pastor worth his salt that if he finds out somebody came into the house of God to deceive the people of God, wouldn't want to wake up. Because the problem, really, honestly, is that we've got to get the church to be salt and light. That's the problem, is we're being walked on under the feet of men. What they wanted to do, all these Christians need and wanted, was educate. They just wanted to be educated about the issues. And what happened is they want to silence them. They want to confuse them. They just want Christians, y'all just shut up. Now y'all just be silent. Y'all need to just stay home and stay out of this mess, or get them confused. And so that's our heart. It's just, again, it's visionamerica.org. They can go there, click on it, and walk through that process, and just share these voter guides and get your friends to vote.
Absolutely. So important. So if you're considering not voting this time around, forget about that. Do it. Find out what the candidates stand for and vote your values. John Graves, president of Vision America, thanks so much for telling us this story and helping us to be aware of what's going on out there. Well, coming up next, have you ever wondered how Hillary Clinton managed to escape prosecution despite compelling evidence that she violated the law? When we return, we'll talk with Greg Jarrett, Fox News legal analyst and author of The Russia Hoax, The Illicit Scheme to Clear Hillary Clinton and Frame Donald Trump. He'll be here to answer that question and many others. and you'll have an opportunity to talk with Greg yourself. And that phone number, very quickly, is 866-372-7234.
Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Is Planned Parenthood a champion for women? In reality, Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading killer of unborn children. Despite this, they have been hailing themselves as the voice of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. From its racist eugenic roots to the targeting of vulnerable communities today, their scandals continue to pile up. Planned Parenthood's current motto is care, no matter what. A more fitting motto would be profit, no matter what. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood. Again, that's frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
Eben Fowler sitting in the Tony Perkins chair today on Washington Watch on this Friday afternoon, and we are glad you're here today. Let me give the phone number so you can jot it down, because in the fourth segment coming up at about 40 minutes after the hour, we're going to give you an opportunity to call in and talk with Greg Jarrett. The number is 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. Well, why was there never a legitimate criminal investigation of Hillary Clinton in the Uranium One case? Are the text messages that were exchanged between FBI agent or former FBI agent Peter Stroke and FBI lawyer Lisa Page evidence of a concerted effort to undermine the electoral process? These questions, along with many others, are explored in a fascinating book that I've just finished reading. It's called The Russia Hoax, The Illicit Scheme to Clear Hillary Clinton and Frame Donald Trump. It's written by Fox News legal analyst Greg Jarrett. With us now is the author himself. Greg, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you for having me on, and I appreciate you reading my book.
Well, you know, I read all 286 pages, so that doesn't include the acknowledgement section, which is another 2.5 pages. I just want to tee this up by reading a couple of paragraphs on the last page of the book, if I may, because it'll sort of give it's a conclusion, and you can explain why you reach this conclusion, okay? It says, there was never any plausible evidence that Trump or his campaign collaborated with Russia to win the presidency. The FBI had no legal basis to initiate its investigation. Facts were invented or exaggerated. Laws were perverted or ignored. The law enforcers became lawbreakers. Comey's scheme to trigger the appointment of his friend as special counsel was a devious maneuver by an unscrupulous man. His insinuation that the president obstructed justice was another canard designed to inflame the liberal media. Sure enough, they became witting accessories. And then finally it says, when powerful forces in government abuse their positions of trust to subvert the legal process, and when the media acts in concert to condone or conceal corrupt behavior, democracy is threatened. Reverence to the rule of law is lost. This is the story of the Russia hoax. Okay, Greg, so that's the conclusion that you came to. Now, if you would, let's start laying out some of what you found as you wrote this really very amazing book.
Well, thank you. It begins really with Hillary Clinton. She clearly committed crimes under the Espionage Act. The sheer quantity of classified information, 110 documents on her unauthorized, unsecured server, was evidence of gross negligence. That's right under the statute. And in fact, James Comey originally determined that she was grossly negligent. But his notes show that he wanted to clear her anyway. So he had Peter Strzok and Lisa Page sanitize his findings of fact, deleting the term gross negligence and substituting extremely careless. And with that, he stood in front of television cameras on July 5th, 2016, and cleared her, saying that no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case, which was a lie. They had already brought numerous similar cases against other individuals who I identify in the book. But, you know, on the very same day that Comey cleared Clinton, his FBI was secretly meeting in London with the author of the fictitious anti-Trump dossier, which was funded by Hillary Clinton and the Democrats, and that was the beginning of the Russia hoax.
All right. So one of the things, and you really break this down in great detail. You quote chapter and verse of federal statutes that you believe, based on your analysis, that a number of these parties essentially violated, including Comey. And let's talk just a little bit about the Comey firing, because the Comey firing, and I went back, and this is not in the book, it's alluded to, but I went back and found, just, you know, you can search for it and find it, Rod Rosenstein's letter, his 2-3-page letter, I think it was, wherein he recommended the firing of Comey. Talk about that just a little bit.
Rosenstein volunteered to write the memo recommending the firing of James Comey. And then when Rosenstein was blamed by Democrats on Capitol Hill for that, he felt under siege. And that's what prompted him to appoint a special counsel who happened to be the longtime friend and colleague and partner of Comey's, Robert Mueller, who should never have accepted the job due to multiple conflicts of interest. And in fact, Rosenstein, who was a key witness in the case by virtue of writing the memo, should have disqualified himself at the outset. In fact, he was interviewed as a witness by Robert Mueller, and yet he presides over the case and will decide whether any charges should be brought against President Trump, when in fact he is a witness in that potential charge. So, you know, there are conflicts of interest everywhere. And you mentioned the violations of law. You know, James Comey stole government documents, presidential memos. And, you know, he agreed that he would, that all of his work as FBI director would be the property of the government. So theft of that and leaking it to others who are unauthorized is a potential crime.
Right. And that's one of the things that you talk about. And we'll talk about that in a little bit more detail, kind of break that down. And then there's so much more that we need to discuss. And we're going to give our listeners an opportunity sometime in the next segment to talk with you, Greg, and ask questions about your book. And, you know, there may be some others that pop up that have nothing to do with the book, but we'll handle them as they come in. That phone number is 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. 7234. You're listening to Washington Watch. My guest in this segment and coming up in the next, Greg Jarrett from Fox News. Hang around. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to vote? Which candidates are actually speaking up for you and your values? Choosing the right candidate to vote for can be difficult with all the media spin and political rhetoric. Each candidate will either be a part of the problem or part of the solution when it comes to preserving and protecting your religious freedom, family values, and the sanctity of human life. You can be a part of the solution and make your voice heard by pledging to pray, vote, and stand for your values. FRC Action will be traveling across the country on our Values Bus to meet values voters like you this fall. We want to keep you up to date on the latest inside news from the campaign trail and help to inform you about each candidate's positions on our country's most vital issues. Go to valuesbesttour.com for our tour dates, voter guides, and so much more. Be a part of the movement. Pledge to pray, vote, and stand for your values. Again, go to valuesbesttour.com and be a part of the movement.
Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
On Sunday, November 4th, join millions of Americans who are pledging to pray, vote, and stand for our nation. The event is a nationwide simulcast for the sake of America. Hear from Governor Mike Huckabee, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins, E.W. Jackson, and others broadcasting from Caris Bible College. The 90-minute broadcast will encourage Americans to pray, vote, and stand for their values in a country that is moving in the right direction. Go to theevent2018.com for more information and to tune into the webcast.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer to these questions should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, claiming they are ineffective and harmful. But are they? Studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. To find out more, visit frc.org/SOCE.
You're listening to the Friday edition of Washington Watch. Evan Fowler from Bot Radio Network sitting in today for Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along. Our guest for this last segment is Greg Jarrett. He's a Fox News legal analyst, and we're so glad to have him on board. We're talking about his book called The Russia Hoax, The Illicit Scheme to Clear Hillary Clinton and Frame Donald Trump. It's a great read. I just read it every page, as I said before, and it's really some fascinating information. Everybody needs to know about this because it talks about some, you know, you hear all this stuff in the news. It's really hard to sort it out. This book does a really nice job of laying all of this stuff out. I also want to mention, too, we've got callers on hold already. Just be patient. Sherry, John, and Joe, we're going to get to you here after a while. We want to lay down a little bit more background here first. The number is 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. We've got a couple more lines open if you want to jump on and get on hold, and we will do our best to get to you. Well, Greg, now, first of all, tell us, why did you write this book in the first place?
Well, I'd written, Evan, numerous columns over the last 3 years, first about the Hillary Clinton case, then Comey clearing her, then the launch of the Trump-Russia collusion investigation and the special counsel. And a couple of publishers came to me and said, look, you need to lay this out in under one cover in a book. And I thought they were right. So I did. You know, I wrote all of it myself, including more than 700 footnotes. So everything is sourced properly. And I, you know, I think it lays out a compelling case that there was this illicit scheme by top officials at the Department of Justice and FBI. They abused their position of power to subvert the rule of law and try to undermine the democratic process. And that's the story of the Russia hoax.
You know, the thing that I find quite disappointing, actually, as this is all laid out, you know, the FBI is a great institution and it's a great organization. And the vast majority of those who are working day to day are doing a phenomenal job helping to protect our country, helping to bring lawbreakers to justice. And so I commend them. I commend those members of that very elite law enforcement organization. But what's very disappointing is, and quite surprising, actually, is to find out that you've got some people at the upper layers who really don't deserve to be there. They don't deserve to be, you know, carrying the FBI badge. How has this happened in an otherwise phenomenal organization? How does this kind of stuff happen?
Well, that's a great question, Evan. How indeed could it happen? I will say that the Peter Strzok, Lisa Page text messages, more than 50,000 of them, provide the powerful narrative of how severe bias among these top officials against Trump drove them to clear Clinton and try to frame him in an effort to stop him from becoming president. When that failed, these same people pursued a contrived investigation in an attempt to undo the election results and remove Trump as president. To some extent, they're still trying to cover this up. Christopher Wray of the FBI, Rod Rosenstein of the Department of Justice continue to withhold evidence under lawful subpoena by Congress to try to cover up their wrongdoing. And I, you know, when you ask, like, why would they do this? Power is the answer. They were the swamp. Trump threatened to drain the swamp. They didn't want to be drained. They wanted to keep their positions of power. They thought they could do that with Hillary Clinton as president, but not Donald Trump.
Yeah, and the election of Donald Trump was kind of a big uh-oh, because none of this stuff, we would know none of this. You probably wouldn't have a book to have written had the opposite candidate been elected. Well, I want to bring in one of our callers. I want to bring in Joe from Delaware, Ohio, because he's got a question about the reliability of Jeff Sessions as Attorney General. Joe, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Thank you, Mr. Jarrett, for all your hard work and your book, The American People, the blue-collar American people here in the Midwest. Definitely appreciate your work. My question is, it appears obvious to me that for whatever reason, Trump has decided not to replace Jeb Sessions. Wouldn't it make sense for President Trump to appoint an assistant attorney general to do the work that Mr. Sessions is not wanting to do or refused himself from doing, an assistant attorney general to look into these matters? Thanks again for all your work, and I'll listen to you off there.
Thank you, Joe.
Well, Joe, it's a good question. Jeff Sessions betrayed Donald Trump on his very first day in office when Sessions testified later that he recused himself on his first day in office. He cited the wrong regulation when he recused himself. And that triggered, in the end, Rod Rosenstein to take over as acting attorney general on the Russia investigation. And the appointment of the special counsel was illegitimate under the regulations because a crime must be specified. It never was. Jeff Sessions, I think, will be gone after the midterm elections in another 10 days or so. And he should be gone. He has proven to be a feckless attorney general in way over his head. Somebody new will be appointed, and that person will then take over control of the Robert Mueller special counsel probe. And I think that new attorney general, whoever it will be, would launch a legitimate and serious investigation of wrongdoing by the top officials at the Department of Justice and the FBI, presenting evidence to a grand jury.
If you'd like to join the call here or join with the call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Greg, I want to talk with John in Corinth, Mississippi. John has a question about, and actually it was kind of the next question that I wanted to ask, and that is, well, John, I'll let you ask your question about Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. Just it's like a spider web, and it's like it's just amazing how much power is being misused, and the fact that I believe eventually it's all going to come out. It has to come out slowly, you know, for spiritual reasons, I think, you know. But I also had a little comment about that topic you had beforehand about pastors who will not do the things they need to do as far as the political scene. I mean, they're quick to get their tithe from the parishioners, but they're not quick to stand up and get in the midst of this this election and the political thing, because this is what this is really for the soul of America, for sure. Because you see all this crazy stuff happening, and they'll do anything they can in order to hinder your country from becoming godly and operating by the rules of law.
Well, this is how cover-ups operate. The truth and evidence is slow to emerge, but in most cases, it eventually does emerge. And I think there'll be a sea change after the election with a new attorney general in place who will be, I think, determined to get to the truth, to get to the bottom of this and hold people accountable for their actions.
Well, Sherry is from Richmond, Texas, and Sherry has a question that's not necessarily directly related to the content of the book, but it is related to this whole issue. Sherry, welcome to Washington Watch. What's your question?
Thank you. First of all, I would like to thank you, Greg, and everyone at Fox News and anywhere that just gives us the facts. Otherwise, we would not have them. So thank you for that. And I want to know, why aren't the people being arrested that are harassing, say, Ted Cruz in a restaurant, or even the gentleman that was driving in his car and he was attacked? Because if I were to go up to someone in a restaurant and start yelling and harassing at them, the police would be called immediately. And if they would do that, I think this would slow down or maybe even stop if there's a threat of being arrested.
What do you think,
Greg? You know, you can arrest people for disturbing the peace, but unless somebody makes an overt threat or physically touches someone, which would constitute assault, then there really is no crime. I do think it's really sad that Democrats have encouraged, like Maxine Waters, get in their face, harass them wherever they go. Yell at them, scream at them. You know, that's not a traditional American discourse that is civil. And I think we need to stop it.
That's right. We need to lower the calm the tone all across the board, both sides, and get back to some civil conversation and some civil discussion. Greg, I agree with that. Marie is from Edmond, Oklahoma. Marie, welcome to Washington Watch. What's your question today?
Yes, thank you. I actually have a couple. One is a question my husband asks often is why Hillary Clinton has never been arrested. And the other question is why has there never been an investigation or an arrest for any of the assassinations, murders, suspicious deaths, quote, suicides, unquote, that seem to surround her, that she seems to have been behind?
Well, as to the latter question, I can't really address that. But as to the former question, why wasn't she arrested for violating the Espionage Act? There should have been a 110 criminal count indictment representing 110 classified documents on her unsecured, unauthorized email server. But Comey protected her, and probably Loretta Lynch at the Department of Justice, and maybe it goes all the way to Barack Obama, because after all, he appeared on Fox News Sunday just before Clinton was interviewed. And, you know, he sent out the message on nationwide television that she didn't intend to jeopardize national security and she was merely careless. That sent a pretty strong signal to the FBI and the Department of Justice. Don't charge her. So she was protected, and that was part of the illicit scheme.
The number is 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. We have a few minutes more if you want to call in and talk with Greg Jarrett. But, Greg, let me, before the last break, one of the things I mentioned that we wanted to talk about a little bit more was, and you had alluded to it, and that was James Comey's mishandling of government FBI-owned information. Talk about how that happened and why that is a violation of the law, why it's a felony.
Well, there's a theft statute, theft of government property, and conveying it to individuals who are not authorized. That's precisely what he did. Those presidential memos may have been composed by him, but they were composed during the course and scope of his duties as the FBI director. That makes them government property, not Comey's property. And yet he absconded with those, and then he leaked them for the sole purpose, he admits, of triggering the special counsel. I believe that is being investigated by the Department of Justice, in addition to Comey signing off on a FISA warrant to wiretap the Trump campaign with unverified evidence, which tells me that the FISA judges were deceived. The dossier that formed the bulk of the warrant application was never substantiated or verified. That's in direct violation of Department of Justice and FBI regulations. It's abuse of power and five other felony statutes.
You know, you would think that he would know what statutes he was violating, and I find it very thin soup because he said at all. They were notes that were taken during a meeting with the President of the United States. They were taken on government property in a, you know, in a government vehicle, et cetera, et cetera. And then he passed them off to his buddy, a professor who apparently was on the FBI payroll at one point. And then that was leaked, I guess, to what, New York Times or Washington
Yes,
Post?
New York Times.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll try to squeeze a couple more calls in here, Greg. Charlinda is from Texas, and she's got a question about the Hollywood elite. Welcome to Washington Watch, Charlinda.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. I just am very curious about the standards that Hollywood is held to and the laws that they have broken. In the last time that I thought, well, let me put it this way. I thought that any time that you said you were thinking severely about or really deeply about blowing up the White House and Johnny Depp has threatened the president and so has Robert De Niro, they are the Hollywood elite. And, yes, they are Democrats. Are they protected by people like George Soros from any kind of prosecution? Are they just protected? I mean, because if that was me, I would have been arrested about 10 seconds after I said it.
Well, if I recall correctly, I think Johnny Depp was actually investigated by the Secret Service, which handles potential threats to the President of the United States, and one or two other were also investigated by the Secret Service. You know, there's a fine line between issuing a real threat, an imminent threat to the President of the United States, and, you know, exercising free speech, especially if it's opinion speech. So, you know, it's a problem. It just underscores how incendiary the rhetoric has become, and as Evan pointed out, on both sides of the aisle.
That's right. Well, I want to get one very quick call in. Ken from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Actually, Bobby's just my producer's telling me we don't have enough time. So, Greg, thank you all for calling today. We had some great calls, and sorry we couldn't get all of you in on the broadcast. Greg, again, thank you so much for the work you do, the great work you do on Fox News, and for this book as well.
Evan, my pleasure talking to you. Hope people read the book. I think they'll learn a lot. Thanks.
Absolutely. It's called The Russia Hoax, The Illicit Scheme to Clear Hillary Clinton and Frame Donald Trump. And Greg tells me that it should be available in paperback here fairly soon. Well, thank you all for listening today on this Friday edition of Washington Watch. This is Eben Fowler sitting in for Tony Perkins. Have a great weekend.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.